Now, this weekend, the ruling body of the Church of England meets in York and will be asked to vote on a motion that condemns gay conversion therapy. It's a controversial practice that aims to cure people, and I say cure in inverted commas, who are attracted to the same sex. In January, the Royal College of GPs and the British Psychological Society were among the medical bodies which issued a statement calling it unethical and harmful. Mike Davison is the chief executive of the Core Issues Trust. That's a charity that says it challenges gender confusion. We'll hear about what he offers people in just a moment. And Jane Ozan also joins me. She's behind the vote this Saturday. Her motion says, "We, the undersigned UK organisations, wish to state that the practice of conversion therapy has no place in the modern world. It is unethical and harmful and not supported by evidence." Jane, if I could come to you first. Good morning.
Good morning, Emma.
Have you had any experience of this conversion therapy?
Oh, yes. Sadly, I have, and I suppose that's what's motivated me to become quite an outspoken critic of it. Conversion therapy does mean different things to different people. It can be talking therapies, but within the church it also means prayer ministry, which can take the form in various forms, from emotional healing for traumas that they think might have caused you to be gay, or relationships with your parents, or people who might have been in your life, or indeed generational problems you might have had with your grandparents, or even deliverance ministry. And I've been through it all. I was desperate to try and change my sexuality, and I believe that's what God wanted me to do, and therefore I sought every opportunity I could to go through with it. But sadly, it just led me to getting more and more depressed, like many others. I ended up in hospital with my body cracking under the strain of it and the stress, having nervous breakdowns. And I'm one of the lucky ones, because sadly, many others who find they carry this trauma through their lives go on to self-harm and even commit suicide. So it's deeply, deeply dangerous and harmful. And it's time we really spoke up about what goes on in our churches.
What is the stance of the church right now on this?
Well, it doesn't have a stance on this, to be absolutely honest. That's why I've tabled this motion. What I'm asking them to do is to endorse what all the healthcare professions have signed, that they know that this is harmful, and to take a stance on it. We haven't had this debate before. It's been one of those big elephants in the room, if you like. And sadly, it's often gone unspoken of, because people leave the church when find that they have failed them, or they get terribly depressed. It's very difficult for people to speak out against the power structures. But I believe it's about time we started to really be honest about some of the harm, and repent of some of the harm that we've unwittingly caused. I should say, I know that people do this all in best of faith, as I did. I truly believe that's what God wanted me to do.
To try and stop being gay.
And to go to people who felt they had a gift for this, who believed that God had sent them to help, to discern what was the cause of it, and to help me change. I then went on to trying to get prayer to help me live a celibate single life, and that too, sadly for me, was a step too far. So, but I do recognise, I think that's what I think you're going to talk to Mike in a minute, people do it with all the best of intentions.
But is there
it's the long-term harm that we know within the medical profession creates such trauma.
Two quick questions then, Jane. Is there any evidence that it works in any way? Were you presented with anything that made you believe, not the prayer side of it, this conversion side of it, that it could work?
No, I mean, nobody gives you evidence either way. You just do it in good faith because you trust the people. There are, at the moment, there's a big debate raging within certain conservative circles as to certain studies they believe that have shown that it's not harmful or that it works. But those studies have been condemned by leading academics. Professor Michael King, who is the main spokesperson for the Royal College of Psychiatrists on this, he's the leading psychiatrist at the King's College London. And he's explained why these studies aren't an issue. They haven't been peer-reviewed. They don't stand up. We don't have a control sample, for instance. I don't want to get into all the details, but there is no hard evidence. Likely, there will never be, because nobody is going to pay for a study that shows that this causes harm when they know that it does. It's too dangerous to do.
What are you going to do if the Synod doesn't back you?
Well, I'll be very surprised if it doesn't. The Secretary-General, who's, if you like, the lead voice for the Church House, the Archbishop's Council, issues a paper in response to every private member's motion. And he, too, has been very clear in his paper that, that this appears to be unethical and unsupported by evidence. So I believe the vast majority of the Church will want to back this. If it doesn't, well, I think we'll have questions to ask in the court of public opinion. I think people will be horrified if they believe the Church still believes that people should try and change their gender.
Mike, let me bring you in. Let me bring Mike in now, Mike Davidson. It's a therapy that I believe you've been through as well. Is that right?
Yes, Emma, and I think that's the point. I was given the opportunity to work on issues that I was unhappy with and was successful in dealing with those issues. And that's
so
right.
Just to let my listeners know, you were married and what you had feelings for people of the same sex?
I was in confusion and yes, certainly did have feelings for the same sex, and there was some acting out, and there came a point where I needed to make a decision, which I did with my wife. I sought professional help and I was given that from two very respected therapists. Now that's the right that Jane Ozan apparently wants to see taken away, and that's why we're so exercised about it.
That's rubbish, Mike. As you know, sorry, Emma, can I just come in and then clarify this point, because he's made an accusation. I think all the therapists are very clear, particularly in their memorandum of understanding, that providing therapy to professional therapy, we're not talking cups of tea and counselling in church on a Sunday, professional therapy that supports people to understand who they are and how they want to live their lives is something that, of course, they want to continue providing. It's absolutely critical to the health of individuals that they can talk this through and find a way of coming to terms with who they are. But trying to change their natural innate desire is impossible.
Let Mike come back on that. Jane, let Mike come back on that. You've had a big say on this. Mike,
sure.
It's impossible, as Jane says, and she's backed by several big organisations in the medical field on this. There's no hard evidence that this works. What would then be the harm of the Church condemning something which there is no hard evidence that it works?
Well, actually, I think Jane may know that the American Psychological Association has said very clearly there is no evidence one way or the other. Therefore, what is happening here is we are condemning something even though there is no evidence. Now, Jane has correctly said that we cannot do randomized controlled trials because there are ethical issues. But how on earth can we do proper research when we ban something, when we close it down? There's already a de facto ban. Nobody who believes that homosexuality is mostly influenced by postnatal issues is allowed to undertake training. Banned.
I'm trying to understand that. What evidence do you have at the moment that you can be cured of being gay? Because I'm sure many of my listeners would find that very hard to get their heads around.
Emma, I'm very grateful to you that when you use that word initially, you put it in inverted commas. Nobody is talking about a cure here. We're not working in a medical model. The point is, some people are not happy with their homosexual feelings and don't buy into this idea that they are distressed because of society's systemic homophobia. They have their own desires and ambitions, and they want to move away from the practices. And as they move away from the practices, many find, as I did, that the feelings dissipate, and in many cases, not all cases, disappear. Now, that is the right that needs to be protected.
That needs to be protected, Mike, but how do you balance that right against what Jane was describing there, and it's stories I've also read elsewhere, of those who go through this therapy like you have and come out the other side feeling worse and in some extreme cases feeling suicidal?
There are 11 testimonies on our website, core-issues.org today. People who are not coming from a Christian worldview necessarily, people who come from different points of view, and their view is that they have experienced change. So allow us, please, the opportunity of sharing our stories.
Of course, which is why you're on the radio, you're doing that. But how do you balance that right? Because couldn't you say you're putting people at risk if, as Jane has found and other testimonies say, that they have felt worse after those therapy sessions?
Jane has not given us evidence that she worked in a formal context with a qualified psychotherapist or analyst.
So how, are you denying her stories? Are you denying what Jane has said?
I am saying that we must be very careful not to use this term, gay cure, or conversion therapy, as a catch-all for any attempt that anybody makes to move away from homosexual feelings. That's not viable. Surely anybody can express the view that they want to move away from it and can discuss it freely if we have freedom of speech.
Well, why won't you be able to discuss it freely if the church vote backing Jane's motion?
Because then we are not going to be in a position to develop what we our practices. We're going to be denied collegiality. We're going to be denied, as we already are in many instances, any kind of open communication with any of the professional bodies. We've been judged by those who have a different ideological point of view, that have not produced the science, that have not been consistent in showing that this is harmful in all cases. They simply say the desire to do it, or the practice of exploring the reducing of homosexual feelings has a long-term consequence, right, and it's not
Mike,
evident.
Let
in
me
the
put
science.
That point very quickly to Jane. Time is against me, Jane. Mike's saying cool. That if this motion gets passed, all these avenues will be shut off to organisations which helped him.
No, well, that's ridiculous, and I think Mike knows it. I think what he's just shown is why we need the private members' motion in the first place. This is about people having been told they can change their orientation and their desire. They may want to change or monitor their behaviour, and that is what the psychological and mental health care professions are there to help them with. But I think trying to talk about evidence, saying there's no evidence when there are plenty of qualitative studies of, well, versus yes. One published this weekend of people who've actually committed suicide or tried to commit suicide because it's so dangerous. Basically, goes to the heart of what the Gibb report has just
it's
done.
It's incorrect science that you've quoted Jane.
Jane.
Well, Michael, to be honest, people know people who've been desperately harmed by this. As you well know, the American study was in 2009. There's been various studies since then. I think you're very selective with what you share. And I think ultimately, I'm interested in safeguarding people's lives. The Gibb report on sexual abuse in the church said the biggest issue for the church was that it didn't listen to the testimony of its abuse
okay.
victims.
Jane,
and we're at risk of doing that again.
Ozan, thank you very much for talking to me. Mike Davison, thank you to you too.